Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Just the Sip. I'm your host, Justin Sylvester. Everyone's like, what are we going to do for Pride Month? I'm like, we've been talking to queens and gays and trans women and allies this entire run of the show. This is why I love this show so much, because we can celebrate Pride Month every month. Every month to me is AAPI month. Every month to me is Black History Month. Every month to me is Trans Women's Awareness Month, because we talk about these things every single week. When you ask me, are we going to celebrate Pride Month? I say, no, we're going to celebrate Pride Year. Let's take this next damn sip. Joining me today is one of my favorite characters in the world. I am obsessed with this woman, everything that she does, everything that she has done. You have seen her on Handmaid's Tale as the one and only Moira. You've seen her on Orange is the New Black. She made us cry as Pusey. Please welcome Samira Wiley. Let's do this. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you.
You know, I gotta be real. I'm kind of upset with you because you stole my baby name. George for a Girl was always my name. And no Stop. One has ever named their baby George. And it was going to be mine. And you stole it.
That is crazy. I can't believe that. Number one, I'm sorry, but also respect, because no one does do that. And I see you. I see you.
Right. I have an aunt named Ron. And my grandmother was like, ain't nobody trying to hook up with a girl named Ron. I'm like, ha ha, genius. No one's trying to hook up with a girl named George. My daughter's going to be a virgin until she's 22. Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, that's not why I picked it, but you know.
Why did you guys pick George?
Oh man, number one, I love George. I just think it's such a cute name for a girl. But also a couple more reasons. My wife loved Nancy Drew, and like Nancy Drew's best friend's name was George. But I didn't know that because I never read Nancy Drew before. But apparently that's a thing. But then there's also, look, I looked up all these things because I was like, people are gonna be asking. There's a French writer whose name is George Sand, who's never really, she was a lover of Chopin, and she never really conformed to the binary. She dressed like him sometimes, but it had nothing to do with her sexuality. And we don't really like the binary in my house. We're super queer. So, hey, George.
Meanwhile, look, I'm out here trying to control and you're like, oh no, it's this beautiful meaning and da, 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 da. Let me ask you this, because, you know, I always say it's harder for Black kids to come out to their parents. Mm-hmm. And I figured out why. Church is a big community and a big part of the Black community. And a lot of times our parents and grandparents kind of have this shame around gay, queer, lesbian, non-binary kids because of what the church would say to them. And the other reason I feel like we have a hard time is because whenever we were growing up and kids came out and their parents were like, well, you know what? We're just going to have a gay son. Those parents were never Black. You know what I mean? Those parents were always white. And the only time we ever saw gay parents being you know, whatever. It was like, well, don't tell your dad, but this can be our little secret mm-hmm. with the mom. Or the mom would say, I didn't know. Meanwhile, she knew because she was buying the Barbie dolls and making him hide it in the attic. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's those two reasons. You grew up in a church with not one, yeah. but two motherfucking pastors. So how the yeah. hell did you come out the closet?
You know, it's really interesting because like my parents are so progressive. I think it was much harder for some of the people in the church to accept this than my parents. My parents are like not that, like they like them being Baptist pastors, like that title doesn't really go with who they are. I feel like the stereotype of what that is. Sorry. My parents started doing union ceremonies in their church in DC before marriage was even legal in 2004, long before I ever even came out to them.
Wow.
So, I mean, but when that happened, I mean, a Black church in DC, you make that kind of stance as the pastors, they lost over half of their membership. Wow. So my parents have always been on the forefront of like trying to do like literally, remember we used to wear them bracelets that said WWJD on it?
Yes.
I'm like, that's okay, but that's like literally probably what Jesus would have done though for real. Like he's been like, no, y'all are good. Y'all are good. You know what I mean? And like my parents, I remember saying to them, my dad one time, because I was like, you know, like, do you regret this? Like you lost like so many people, people who I mean, I was so hurt by it because like
you grew
these
up
people
with.
Who I grew up with, people yeah. who like, I mean, I was at church 7 days a week. These are people who I thought were my family, my aunties and my uncles and stuff who, like yeah. I said, I hadn't come out yet. And these people done left because of inside who I haven't told nobody yet. That's also who I am. That's who I am.
So
and y'all just straight up
freaking
left.
Out.
Yeah.
Wow.
But luckily, I mean, like, I'm one of those kids who, in a very rare situation, especially like you said, in a Black family, who grew up with accepting parents, you know,
yeah.
I mean, but even, and this is a real testament, even though I knew I had accepting parents, I still was afraid to come out because of society, because yes. of all the people that I'd be around. Because here's the other thing you talked about, you know, you come out and you're either, you know, a secret between you and the mom or whatever. Like, but there's yes. also you come out and it's like, you know what, I'm gonna pray that out of you. You know, I'm a pray. And how damaging that is. I'm gonna sit here and pray every single day that you are not who you are. That
because
is
that tells you insane. Something is wrong with you.
Exactly.
Like that is it. Something is wrong with you.
Yes.
So I'm going to pray for you to become right.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to pray for you to not be you.
Mm-hmm,
straight up.
Mm-hmm. You know what the scariest part was too? Because I grew up in a church. My aunt was apostolic and she drug me to church oh, with wow. her two nights a week. And it was intense. It was some intense.
Yeah.
But in the Black community, in the church community in the South, if somebody was a backslider, that means yeah. they left the church yeah. and they mm-hmm. went on to do some other shit that wasn't appropriate for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And people talked about them openly in sermons or, you know, in crowds. And when people would snicker about somebody who came out and left the church and who was now living with a boyfriend and who was gay.
Right.
I remember being a kid and being like, oh my God, like they're going to talk about me like that one day. I need to pray mm-hmm. the gay away because mm-hmm. I don't want to
yeah.
become like that person. And it's scary.
It's frightening. It's terrifying. It's
terrifying. It's terrifying.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's also relevant, but I wonder if your parents secretly knew the whole time and maybe they were extra welcoming because they maybe had an inkling that maybe you were experiencing those feelings. Like your mom was like, we're loving everybody, including lesbians, Samira. We're loving lesbians now. Look at that. Look at lesbians. Pat and Kara are coming over for dinner.
Oh my God.
Like,
that
I just
is
wonder.
Hilarious. That's actually something I've never wondered before. And that's a really, really funny thought. Yeah, no, that really threw me for a loop, honestly, bro.
It's crazy. I knew my sister was a lesbian mm-hmm. before I knew I was gay. My sister's five mm-hmm. years older than me. Knew she was a lesbian. I had no idea. And then I had no idea what I was. I knew I was something. But
yeah.
when you're five or six and you're trying to figure that out, you automatically think you're a girl stuck in a man's body because all you know is that men like women and women like men. So that's where my mind went as a kid.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I always knew I was going to end up with Dante and not Dawn. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I it's also so funny sometimes when like people, I feel like sometimes know, I felt like I came out to people and they were like, no, we know. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, but I just found out. Like, girl, we're waiting for you to find out. You know? So, I mean, like, that definitely happened with some people in my life for sure.
Oh my God, 100%. And by the way, you had every new pair of Jordans.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. I knew exactly who you were. You played basketball better than anybody else on that court.
No, like, let me tell you something for real though. Actually, honestly, and this is probably, I love, like when I say love, I mean like, I love the fact that I'm a girl. I love wearing dresses. I love wearing heels. I know I don't fit in everyone's box, but like, I did not know I was gay for a while.
Until when?
I was living my life with an earring. Like, come on. Like, I love everything about being a woman. And the Jordans and all that stuff came really later. But I see you trying to read me, though.
I'm like, no, I'm here. Look, I'm my throat is quenched. I'm ready to read. It's always so interesting to me because I feel like women in my life who are now lesbians and loving it and they have these mature relationships and women bond. Like for gay men, that ain't the tea, honey. It's we're out here like we're in a jungle trying to get through without getting malaria and we gotta fight all these fucking animals and like no one respects your relationship. And I know the lesbians and the gays sometimes don't see eye to eye, but I'm a little jealous of lesbians because you guys really do invest in one another. And it's beautiful that, yeah, you guys might move quick, but y'all know when y'all know. Y'all move quick. Come on, y'all move quick.
Why is that? What is that stereotype? Because I know it's like, I mean, obviously stereotypes come from truth, but like, why is that? Like, I've always wondered that. Like,
because, you know, normally in straight relationships, women have to play the game with men. Like, you know, when they know, but they have to wait for a man to figure it out and wait for him to be ready. You get two women together and they're like, oh, we already know. Grab the U-Haul. Grab the U-Haul.
It's so interesting. That is so interesting. I mean, like that's obviously the stereotype. It's I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And you're right. I mean, like I don't even honestly really know what else to say about it other than that. That's that.
Well, let's put you to the test. How long into dating your partner did you move in together?
See, now I'm gonna mess it up for you because we dated long distance. She lived in California, I lived in New York, and we didn't even move to the same state for over 3 years.
Oh wow, you did 3 years long distance?
Don't try to read me.
You f- it up. We're gonna delete this portion of the podcast. I'm gonna piss myself. I'm laughing so hard.
But that, let me tell you, that's probably just because of work. I was on Orange is the New Black in New York. She was working on, she was writing the show. That was in LA. We literally couldn't be together. So who knows what would have happened if we were.
If I could, I would.
Have you hauled?
You would have did it. You would have U-Hauled. Bitch, you would have had 3 U-Hauls on the third date. Okay. Okay. No. Oh, 100%.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
When you were brought to me on Orange is the New Black, I always said, I was like, girl, she is buying the writers like fruit baskets and she is like in the writer's room, like massaging them, giving foot massages, because they are writing for Pusey, honey. They're giving Pusey all the love ever. Like,
aww.
When you took on that role, did you realize that that character was going to be one of the most beloved characters on Netflix?
Oh my gosh. Well, number one, thank you.
Yes.
For saying that.
Yes.
No, Pusey was, I don't believe she was supposed to be. Actually, I know because I married one of the writers. I know she wasn't supposed to be like a big character. She was kind of supposed to be like more like a little sidekick for Tasty. And I think just like over the course of the series, she just kind of grew to what she was. And I think that kind of happens on shows, you know, when writers start to really understand the actor who they're writing for. And that when the actor really understands the writing, then there starts to be like kind of like a back and forth there, even without a conversation. You kind of have a conversation between like doing the scenes and then writing it. And you kind of you kind of develop it together. So I didn't know it was going to be like that at all, but I was very pleased. And I was not in there massaging people.
Oh, yeah. No, you were out there marrying people. Okay, you were wiping people up. You took it to the next level is what you did.
Oh my gosh.
But it's so crazy because, you know, I'm reading all this research about you and I had no idea that you and Danielle Brooks were homegirls from before. So it made the chemistry so much better. And it was, I mean, when you died, I was like, she is really having a breakthrough. But she is watching her friend die on screen. So it's real.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, I also don't want to slight. Look, I'm sure Danielle could have brought that out if it was somebody else, too, because she's brilliant. I mean, she's a wonderful, wonderful actress. But yes, I do think and I love to believe that our friendship elevated that on screen friendship to what it was. It was very, very, very special to be able to do that, to be able to share 4 years with her creating that Pusey and Tasty, like, you know, amazing relationship that we did. It was awesome. It was so dope.
If I was Danielle Brooks, I would not, you know, test it. I would not chance it. Every scene I had where I needed to break down, your ass was going to be on the call sheet standing off to the side. And I'll be like, put some blood on her ass. Let me go there for y'all real quick.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Now you're giving me anxiety on Hulu right now.
Yes, I'm sorry, sir.
Let me first start off by saying Handmaid's Tale wrapped my ass in from season one.
Uh-huh.
But this new season, I feel like I'm just like, just hand everybody the awards, okay?
Aww.
Make awards. Elizabeth Moss directing at this point right now, you know, people getting stuck in milk vats on a train.
She is.
Like, I can't, I cannot deal with what's going on.
It is a lot. Look, I tell everybody, I'm very happy. Like, I know people want to because people consume this show like crazy, but I'm very happy that you can't binge watch this show because I would be worried to see y'all out there.
Yes.
I'm like, we need to let y'all get a little bit at a time because
it'd be Dateline. Like Dateline has an explosion of like, or Snapped would have explosions of like cases because women would be stabbing men everywhere for the they've done on Gilead. Like, I'm just like, I can't.
Oh my gosh, that is too funny. It's a lot. I mean, honestly, I do kind of feel like though that I'm very happy that season four is playing out the way that it is because I feel like the fans have been very patient. I mean, June done almost escaped Gilead like 17 times already. And finally, she, you know, something is happening this season. I feel like your patience is being rewarded. I know when I heard, you know, what was going to happen this season, I thought it was a joke because you don't let like what happens in the middle of our season with June, you know, getting out of it. That usually happens in the season finale, right? On like
100%.
You save that to like the end, right? So like when they were telling me what was happening in the show, stop playing. That's not really going to happen. And it's happening. But I'm very excited for everybody to watch the rest of this season because it's some shockers.
Look, I'm like, why is this bitch going back? Like, you have gotten out three times. Stay your ass out of that. Like, you know, it's like the girl, like when I was growing up, my mother would be like, okay, I don't understand why you keep on going to that kid's house. He always hits you. You always come back crying, but you go back. Like, what kind of lifetime relationship is this? And you just keep on going back. But there's something about this moment that we're talking about, like this PTSD of going through something. And we're all living through the pandemic and we're all coming out and we're all taking baby steps. And we're watching these women get off that plane and start to really get acclimated to real life and to normal life. And it's crazy because you have your character who's been doing it for, you know, a year now. Like, she's wearing jeans. Yeah. She's walking around. She got a boo. She's on Tinder. And then you have other bitches coming in there still making bread, scared to, like, you know, scared to eat something that wasn't grown at the house. So,
oh my God.
I don't know. I'm loving the season.
You are killing me right now. Not coming through, still making bread.
Yeah, still making bread. Like, so, blessed be the fruit. And you're like, no, you don't have to say that anymore. You're in, like, come on. Like, you're cool. You're good. You're not in the bunker anymore.
It's really interesting. I'm glad that they kind of have us out of Gilead in these different timelines. You know, actually, Moira has been out. I've been out since the end of season one. You know, that's when I got out. And so it's really been 4 years where
Mara
I've
got
been
the f- out. Mara was like, deuces, jumped in that Tesla. She was like, hey, sweetie, thanks for picking me up. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is so funny to me right now. It's hilarious to be like talking about a show as serious as The Handmaid's Tale. Yes.
But that's the problem. This is the problem. You know, Black people, we're expressive. You know what I mean? Like, so when I talk about it to people at work, they're like, you know, it's so serious, a juxtaposition between da da da. And I'm like, I just want to be like, the f*** is June gonna do? And like, people get so crazy about it. But I just want to like sit here and just talk about it as if we're in a barbershop talking. Yeah. About anything else.
Yes, I feel you, man. I feel you. Look, I'm very happy. Because look, on that note, I feel like if June was not going to get on that boat, I guarantee you Moira would have knocked her up inside her head with something, made her unconscious, and just 100. Dragged her ass on the boat. Because it's been too many times, girl. It's been way too many times that you done almost got escape and then you decided, no, I need to go do something else. No, you don't need to do nothing else.
Yes. No. And my favorite was, look, Mara's like, you know, not to spoil anything, but Mara's like, I'm tired of raising your kid. Okay. Look, I got a life. I'm trying to get this girl over here and I can't share custody. Come home and take care of your kid. Okay.
I know. I'm like, I done spent more time with your kid than you have.
Exactly.
You made her leave Gilead when you ain't even really know her like that. You even know who she is.
Come get to know this kid.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Emmy nominations this year because I feel like there is no way that you guys as a whole and you as an actress cannot be nominated, like with what's going on and, you know, the severity and the power behind this show. What's it like being nominated for an Emmy? What's it like winning?
I mean, look, it's the pinnacle, right? It's like, there's nothing above that. When you work in TV, the top TV prize is an Emmy. So the very first year I got nominated for an Emmy, I couldn't believe it. It's like, that's the first E in the EGOT thing, right? Like, yes, when you want to get all the awards, the thing that John Legend got, right? Yes. That's the E.
That's so, the like, E.
I mean, I got the E and I'm like, so... I mean, I really couldn't believe it. The night that I won, I sat right next to Cicely Tyson, you know,
whoa,
RIP.
Whoa. Hold on. So the universe put you next to Cicely Tyson the night you won an Emmy.
Yes. I mean, I'll never forget it, obviously, for a few reasons. Number one, I won the Emmy. Number two, Cicely Tyson, you know, it was fantastic. I mean, after I won it, I was able to come back because she was still, you know, pretty elderly at the time, and I came and sat next to her. We talked for a while. You know, I have pictures of her kissing me with the Emmy. Like, it's, and then a little after that, when she won her honorary Academy Award, she invited me over her house. Wow. And like, then I have pictures of her with her Oscar. Like, it's crazy. Like that like whole thing. I know you asked me about my Emmy, but now, I mean, now we're talking about Sicily, but I mean, having that happen that night, and then having that somehow, you know, because I believe Diana Rigg from Game of Thrones, she was slated to win that night. And so having me win that night, and then having me then forge a relationship with this Black royalty, as a result of it, I mean, I couldn't have written that better. That God wrote that. So,
but boo, now that you're in the Black caucus, because Jamie Foxx tells this great story about how he like kind of f***ed up. He was getting a little too lit in the club and going out and being paparazzi. And Oprah, Sidney Poitier, Quincy Jones sat his ass down at Tyler Perry's house and was like,
really?
You're doing too much. Yes. Oh my God, you have got to listen to him tell this story. So now that you've been anointed, you can't get drunk no more in public, bitch. No dinosaur for you. No.
Look, I have a child now, so lots of things have changed.
Thank you so much for being with me today. This was the best 20 minutes of my life. You are my inspo. You are killing it. You guys, if you have not seen Orange is the New Black, which I don't know if anybody has not seen it, go and check this out. This woman gives an unbelievable performance. And if you have not caught up on Handmaid's Tale, shame on you. Blessed not be your fruit. And go ahead and do it on Hulu. Samira Wiley, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We love you. This is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Oh my God, what a sip. By the way, you guys, we only had 20 minutes with her, so this was a marathon conversation, and we're gonna leave everything in it. We hope you loved it. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this. Let me know what you guys like in the comments. Tell me what you don't like. If there's somebody who you guys want us to interview, we are a podcast for the people, so just let us know. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram @JustinASylvester. And I'll see you guys here next Wednesday.